אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
We are joined now by Shane Zyatnik from the Australian Jewish News. Hi, Shane.
Hi, Amit.
I wanted to start with the main headlines of this week's edition, and it's about the UN General Assembly resolution calling for a ceasefire, and Australia was one of the countries who voted for it. What does it mean for Israel, and how did the Jewish community of Australia react?
Australia has, quote, created uncertainty and confusion after voting overnight on Tuesday for a UN General Assembly resolution calling for a humanitarian ceasefire in Gaza and the release of all remaining hostages, communal leaders have said this week about it. The non-binding vote was passed with 153 in favor, 10 against, and 23 abstaining. And the vote came in the wake of a joint call for a humanitarian ceasefire by the Prime Ministers of Australia, New Zealand, and Canada. While supporting it, Australia's permanent representative to the United Nations, James Larson, told the world body that the resolution should have gone further by condemning Hamas. In fact, what got passed didn't even mention Hamas anywhere in the motion. So Israel's ambassador to Australia, Amir Maimon, said he finds it difficult to understand how Australia can now be supporting Israel's right to defend its people from terrorist aggression while also voting in support of a ceasefire, he said, will embolden Hamas. He said this war can only end with Hamas being totally defeated and the liberation of all our hostages.
And their reaction, Shane?
So Australian reaction, Australian Jewish reaction, came in a few forms. There was a joint statement from the Zionist Federation of Australia and the Executive Council of Australian Jewry, and that said the vote has created uncertainty and confusion. They said the earlier joint declaration with Canada and New Zealand by Australia recognised that Hamas needs to be removed, but the United Nations vote by Australia lets them remain in power. They said the Australian government cannot have it both ways. Now, the shadow foreign minister, Simon Birmingham, who's in Israel at the moment, criticised the move, saying that despite supporting Israel's right to self-defence, the Australian government is now undermining Israel's position via this vote. He said, how does the Albanese government expect Hamas to be defeated if Israel isn't allowed to defend itself against the terrorism it faced? He said, a premature and one-sided ceasefire will only leave Hamas in place, able to rearm, reorganize, and repeat the deliberate murders, rapes, beheadings, and kidnapping of innocent people. One more Australian reaction. A Jewish reaction is the Australia, Israel and Jewish Affairs Council Executive Director Colin Rubinstein, who noted that the joint statement with Canada and New Zealand called for the release of all hostages, the end of the use of Gaza as civilians, as human shields, and Hamas being disarmed. He said that's why it's so disappointing that Australia then followed up, literally it was 2 hours later, it came in the media, followed up the above statement by voting in favor of a UN General Assembly resolution calling for an immediate humanitarian ceasefire that contradicted any efforts to achieve an end to the Israel-Gaza conflict that is genuinely sustainable.
Did Penny Wong say something to the Jewish News?
Wong told Australian Jewish News she would have preferred if the motion mentioned October 7 Hamas attacks, but she said Australia shares the grave concerns that I've articulated previously about the dire humanitarian situation in Gaza.
And lately we can see a shift in countries that stood by Israel, especially after the October 7 attack. But as time goes by, it's slowly changing.
Yeah, there's been, I think, eight or so countries, that, including Australia, that in the previous UN resolution on the same topic, I think about 5 weeks at the beginning of the war, they all abstained. And this time, they voted for the motion. So, yes, there has been at least eight countries, including ours, switching so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about different things, but still somewhat related. You mentioned before that there is a partisan delegation to Israel. Tell us more about it.
Of course, there's currently in Israel, as I mentioned before, there's Simon Birmingham, the shadow foreign minister. He's there with a bipartisan delegation of Australian politicians in Israel on a solidarity mission organised by the Australia, Israel and Jewish Affairs Council. So besides Birmingham, there's also Labor's Josh Burns and Dr. Michelle Anandaraja. And in the Liberals, there's Birmingham, Andrew Wallace, David Fawcett and Zoe McKenzie. And along with them was Assistant Minister for Foreign Affairs, Tim Watts, which is an interesting one because sending Watts to Israel has been actually criticised by the Australian opposition, who say having him visit before Foreign Minister Penny Wong or Prime Minister Anthony Albanese actually sends a poor message to Israel. Now, Wong has also announced just in the last week that she will also be visiting Israel, early in the new year. So, I suppose, but now after this...
Well, it's next month.
Next month, yes, sometime next month. So we'll see what she does on that visit. And after this UN vote, who knows, but we'll see. Hopefully it'll be positive.
Okay, yeah.
In other news, a bit close to the home, both the New South Wales and Australian Federal Police have closed their investigations into sermons conducted since October 7 by Sydney-based clerics Brother Ismail and Abu Asaid, despite content in those sermons advocating for jihad and violence against Jews.
Yeah.
So New South Wales Police confirmed on December 6 there will be no further investigation into the matter, as after a review of the content and independent legal advice gained, they said it does not meet the threshold of any criminal offence. And the Australian Federal Police also confirmed the case was closed for the same reason. So Executive Council of Australian Jewry co-CEO Alex Rifkin called both decisions deeply distressing and said when a preacher can call for jihad and support a listed terrorist organisation and get away with it, there is something seriously wrong with the laws of our country. He was backed up by Australia, Israel and Jewish Affairs Council Executive Director Colin Rubenstein, who said if the reported comments by Abu Asaid and Brother Ismail were not prosecutable under Australia's hate speech laws, it is hard to see what actually would be. Although he did acknowledge in New South Wales, the Minns government recently passed some strengthening or streamlining of laws under Section 93Z last week, and he called for them to become operational as soon as possible. While New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies President David Ossip said, it's obviously a matter of great concern that the law has proven powerless to deal with religious leaders who venerate and encourage the murder of Australians who practice a different religion.
Mm.
So asked by the Jewish News, New South Wales Police Minister Yasmin Catley said on Tuesday she shares New South Wales Premier Chris Minns' view that the sermons do reek of anti-Semitism and anti-Semitic hate speech has no place in New South Wales and Australia, but these are the prosecution decisions by the police, so those matters rest with the police.
And the question remains, how far could one go in the hate speech until police can actually do something about it? But we will have to leave this for a different time. Shane, any good news on this week's edition?
Yeah, there's some good news. Bit by bit, of course, there's been a lot of anti-Semitism on campuses all around Australia. But there's been obviously reports of Student Representative Council. One of them would not speak to someone if they were a Zionist. That's an official policy by one of the student representative councils. There's been celebrations of Palestinian resistance shortly after the October 7 Hamas atrocities and posters from the river to the sea. These were just some of the experiences Jewish University students shared with federal member for Wentworth, Allegra Spender, in a brief recent survey in Sydney. So Spender, along with her fellow federal parliamentary friends of IRA, co-chairs Josh Burns and Julian Lisa met last week with the Education Ministers Working Group on Strengthening University Governments to discuss the urgent need to tackle this problem head on. Spender put the survey out prior to the meeting to canvass the experiences of Jewish university students on campus, particularly since October 7. And the overwhelming majority reported that anti-Semitism has become worse. Having read through all of the responses, and there were so many that were just really shocking, and not only anti-Semitism from students, but also from teachers and professors, Spender told the Jewish News, that she said responses by the universities have ranged from denial and inaction to really constructive engagement with Jewish students and also active measures to stop anti-Semitism. We wanted the working group to really understand what it's like, because it's not just something that people can continue to say is not a problem. And another issue is a lack of understanding about the uniqueness of anti-Semitism. Because Spender said when we've written to the universities before about it, many of them will say, oh, look, we already have inclusivity and anti-racism policies. But of course, that doesn't cover all situations. The adoption of the IRA working definition of anti-Semitism, Spender said, was the first recommendation of this working party. And so they hope that if universities guard their freedom of political discourse, as they should, but I think that we need a clean line as to when that descends into anti-Semitism. Spender said, so far we've got effectively 5.5 universities signed up. And she said, so while we think it's positive that we've come this far, we also think there is significantly further to go.
Shane, let's finish off with this solidarity song for Israel that went viral on social media. Tell us more about Chutney.
So this one's really nice. A Sydney-based Jewish band called Chutney recently released their debut album's first single in solidarity with Israel, and the music video has already been viewed close to 400,000 times across social media, and not just in Australia, but all over the world. The song called Kama At Yafa is a Hebrew pop anthem that translates to how beautiful you are, and the band wants their release to help draw local and global awareness to the almost 140 hostages who have now been held by Hamas for 2 months. The song was written in 2012 by Kobi Aflafo and first performed in a big hit in Israel by Shiri Maimon. And now Chutney has adapted it and included some inspiring lyrics. And they said, like Jews over the world, on October 7 shook us to the core, but we felt compelled to take a principled stance and be our authentic selves, despite the risk of any backlash. And within 36 hours, we had postponed a big show scheduled that week and pivoted to perform instead for the communal solidarity vigil attended by almost 10,000 Jews, said band leader and violinist Ben Adler. And since then, they've been working on this production of this song, and its music video is an embodiment of those efforts. And they said, I don't have stats to verify this, but I suspect our track must be now the single most popular Jewish Zionist Australian release ever. And if people want to have a listen, they can search for Chutney Band on Facebook or Instagram and go and have a listen themselves.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good to me. Shane Zyatnik from the Australian Jewish News. Thank you so much for your time and speak to you again next week.
Thanks very much, Amit. עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.